Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is David Love, and Lana Love's with us.
Chewing some toast.
Chewing some toast. Welcome to our show today. Today we're going to speak about controversies, conspiracies, and creating the new reality.
Really big topic, but it had to be done. Someone had to do it.
Today is the day.
It is.
It's the start of a new day.
It is, yeah.
And the start of a new show, so like to just we don't have a guest day. It's Lana and I speaking on this topic.
This is such a big topic that we thought that maybe this would be just part one of it. You know, David, when I came up with the idea of doing a topic as big as this, I guess it's because over the last few weeks, months, I have been flabbergasted by all the changes in the world. And all these new information or new, theories about life, humanity. And it's like everything I always thought was true isn't.
That's a major shift in your thinking and in your, you know, your ideology and your beliefs, personal belief system. It's maybe you're going through a phase in your awakening.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Hmm. You know, this actually happened to me as well recently. You know, I felt like I hit a new level in my own awakening. We did an interview with Sasha Stone a couple weeks ago of the of New Earth Project, and he said a lot of things, and we'll be hopefully putting that show on soon. But it actually, you know, shook up my belief system a little bit, a lot of what he had to say about reality and life, and you know, I sort of gain new insight into things that I was already aware of, and I sort of got to know things on a deeper level and had a greater understanding of these things. And recently, I think Sunday, we went to see Philip Wolin, a celebrity animal rights activist, at a vegan event here. And he was an incredibly powerful and passionate speaker, and really talked about the desecration of life on this planet on such a grand scale. And you know, when I look in the news, I see, and it, that also shook me up. And as I looked in the news, I would see every day now I'm seeing just hundreds, if not thousands, of people being massacred in countries like so many, in Malaysia and Yemen and Syria and on and on. And this, you know, and I know the world is bigger and there's more people and maybe things are getting reported more in the news, but I just don't think this is normal.
I don't think so.
And what we've seen and what we've experienced in the last few decades, I agree.
And especially even over the last year or so.
Yes.
And not just man-made events. It's the earthquakes, the volcanoes. I mean, what on earth is happening?
We can dismiss it, and we can say, you know, these are things that have always been there, and we're just noticing them now. And I don't know that that's true. And I think that there is a shift going on in the world, and it's hitting us on many levels and in many areas, and maybe all areas, because we're going through a global transformation and personal transformation as we awaken.
That's right. And it's not all bad. As you say, some of us are awakening. A lot of people are awakening. So for all the increasing bad things and disasters, there's a big movement towards awakening, towards, you know, being self-sustaining, mm-hmm. towards looking to the future for a brighter, better way of living. So
the New Earth Movement.
That's right.
That's what we like to call it, that we're part of. And then our network is certainly, we have a really broad-based network and an audience. You know, we have our light workers and our light healers, I guess, our life coaches. You know, we have our light warriors, our activists, our guardians. And they all have very different values. And they don't necessarily all know each other or even the leaders of all of these causes and these in activism and in
did you know the change is happening across all of those areas?
So people are sort of interacting with each other and coming to know each other's ideas, these new ideas, some that they'd never thought of before. And I just call it the spiritual community. And I think of all of these people that we interact with and all of the guests who come on our show who may not necessarily know each other's ideas. They're all part of the the spiritual community, the activists and the life coaches and the tantric instructors and the all the different people that we've had, the past life regressionists, and you know, they're all members of our network.
That's
and they,
right.
And they all have different ideas about and different beliefs about reality and life. And
but everyone seems to be shaken up a bit. Everyone seems to be somehow either more worried or happier or growing or, you know, having crises and then, you know, with new horizons, you know, opening up in front. Things are shifting.
And this has always been true because change is a constant. However, it seems to be on a much greater scale than we have ever seen before, I believe.
And it's very exciting.
And it is, yes. And it's also very sometimes disturbing, I think, and or at least uncomfortable for many of us as we face things that are unfamiliar to us. And we wonder how we're going to deal with these things that seem like crises. And I know, you know, these new insights that I had to do with, I mean, I'm a past life regressionist and I'm aware of what I believe are my past, some of my past lives and my past life lineage. And I've become even more aware of certain things. Some of those things are have to do with the history of humanity. And I've been hearing this from people like Sasha Stone, and I've been hearing from many people in our network about the history of humanity. And many of this rings true for me, and I see that, and I see all of these things in various religions, even across the board. There seems to be a very familiar story being played out in so many philosophies and so many different movements, and it seems to be that, you know, we may have come from, possibly from other planets or perhaps other places in the universe, many thousands of years ago, going back to the time of the Atlanteans and the Lemurians, and you know, and it goes into things that I'm not totally familiar with, but only aware of, and becoming more familiar with as I interact with people in our network who understand these things and know more than I do about maybe about reptilians and Anunnaki and Glenna's favorite topic, Nibiru, however you'd like to pronounce that, Planet X.
I mean, it's all out there, isn't it?
I mean,
I know when I first started reading up on this myself, and, you know, reading on Michael Tellinger's work and his findings in South Africa, you know, the remnants of these round, strange, you know, strange buildings that he thought, you know, putting it all together, it looked like it was some sort of civilization that had been creating incredible vibrations and sounds that may have been used to move very heavy objects, you know, completely different technologies. And, you know, the theory that there were humanoids from other planets that came here to mine our gold that they needed for their atmosphere because they were dying, and that they used humans as slaves. And when I first read this, I was incredulous. I thought, oh, this is ridiculous. And then I was gobsmacked. And then I was quite frightened, chilled to the bone.
I don't know what to make of this. This is another, you know, sort of a creationist story or a theory or the truth. Or, you know, I believe the truth is rooted in almost everything. The exact story, I guess we don't know unless we're there, and even if we are there, we sometimes tend to misinterpret things. But I first heard about reptilians from you, Lana, and also from Dr. Edwige Bing, who was on our show a couple of times, who had a very real encounter with a reptilian and described it in detail.
Now, let's just get this clear. I have never seen a reptilian.
Okay.
And
I'm happy to say that I've had several out-of-body experiences, traditional out-of-body experiences, the way people describe them. And I've seen things that I wouldn't really know how to describe them, and the things I've never seen before and things that most people have probably never seen before. And I don't know what to make of it.
Now, I haven't even seen a ghost, which I'm very disappointed about. And I come from a very scientific background, and I used to think this stuff was nonsense. However, I've come to the conclusion that there is so much information out there, you cannot just dismiss it.
I think that's true, and as an investigator, I don't dismiss things. I keep an open mind, and I just look at things. I try to look at things as objectively as possible, and evaluate what it is, the information, you know. And the first thing I do is question my own thoughts and feelings about a person, place, or thing, or a situation, and decide whether my interpretation of the thing is colored and it may be obscured before I start, you know, making assumptions on whatever it is. So
that's right. You have to make sure that you're not mad yourself, you or me, or that we're not imagining things.
And I love evidence, but even, you know, I've come to the conclusion that it's very difficult to prove anything beyond a reasonable doubt. I mean, I worked in criminal defense for so long, I know that even scientific facts, the most basic principles, can be disputed and often are found to be false thousands of years later. So I find it difficult to really label anything.
But we have to be open-minded. We have to be so open-minded that we have to open the door. We have to be so open-minded that we might have to take the door off the hinges. You know, we might have to just, you know.
That's right. I think that
take the whole house down. I mean, you know, things could be so different to what we expected. I mean, take this suggestion that some authors that have come up with that humans, in fact, have been genetically engineered. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that we genetically engineer all kinds of animals and organisms for our purposes.
Oh, so, yeah, but it's only starting. I mean,
true, but we tamper with genetics and DNA. So maybe, you know, our gene pool was tampered with tens of thousands of years ago.
I don't want to be genetically engineered.
Well, I don't want you to either. I think you're perfect the way you are. But
it's frightening. But, it's really frightening to think that we might be sort of lab mice.
Well, I say that, you know, just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there. We don't know what's there.
No.
So we know what we know.
And we don't know that much.
No, actually we don't. And the problem is if you think you know everything, then you're not going to be open. You're just going to completely dismiss whatever it is, whatever new information you're presented with. How can you receive new information when your head's already full of what you know?
That's right. So, going back to the genetic engineering thing, it's interesting, David, that for years and years, scientists have not known what to make of the fact that most of the human genome is filled with this sort of like junk DNA. They call it junk DNA because most of our DNA, scientists have not been able to know what it represents. They've worked out what the other part does, but we have lots and lots of DNA that they can't account for why it's there. It doesn't seem to do anything. They call it junk DNA. And you know, that's really interesting. And the other interesting thing is that they've never actually found the missing link. You know how scientists have proposed that apes and humans came from the same ancestor, the missing link. They've never actually been able to find it.
No, true. And you know, I don't know what to make of that either. I've often wondered, you know, do we actually come from monkeys? How did we make that transition from caveman to modern human beings?
Or apes, you know. It's proposed that apes and humans had a common ancestor, and they weren't able to find the common ancestor, which is strange. And, you know, it appears that for man to have evolved, millions, thousands of years must have gone by for such a huge change. They can't account for it. But the other interesting thing is that chimpanzees and humans have 99%, or is it 99.9%, of their genetics is the same. It's frightening.
Yeah.
And the other thing is they say that we, pigs and us, have a lot in common. That's why they do use pigs in experiments, and that's why, for example, in creating new heart valves and other body parts, they can use pigs because the human body is not as likely to reject pigs because we have so much in common.
Except,
who knows?
Except that pigs, from an animal rights activist point of view, pigs aren't using us for their body parts.
That's right.
They're not, you know, experimenting on us. So
that's right. And of course, pigs are very intelligent. They are more intelligent than dogs, and they have the intelligence of perhaps a 3-year-old child. So
wow,
I'm not putting pigs down.
No.
I love pigs.
No, I do.
You know, and they're very intelligent social creatures. But it just, you know, it shakes, all of this shakes our shakes what we believed in.
It should, and that's the purpose of change, and that's the purpose of the shift. And sometimes that's the purpose of conflict, is to shake up your belief system so that you can become open to new ideas like this. Because otherwise you just go about your life in a dream, doing what you do with your job and your families, and not really ever trying out something new, or just, you know, experiencing some personal growth and some spiritual evolution. And that's what I believe this whole paradigm shift is all about, and this whole global transformation that most of us in the spiritual community know is happening right now. And it's happening on a grand scale. We're seeing all kinds of global issues taking place. And there's so many theories. All of these are theories, and I'm all about theories. I've written a book on metaphysical theories, and so again, you know, I think one of the ones that you came up with maybe last night was called unconditional perception, which is sort of like almost like my one on unconditional forgiveness. We're talking about being totally open-minded before you prejudge the things you perceive.
And of course that's so hard, because everything that we perceive, everything that we think is true, has actually gone through our brain and been changed,
filtered,
and distorted and filtered. That's right.
Yeah.
So our perceptions are not reality.
Very limited.
Very. And that's frightening.
It is.
I mean, we're walking around in what could be a dream.
I think it's a matrix. And then for many of us, it's just a dark matrix, really, because I do believe my own experience recently was just at this, not, it's not that recently. I've had this insight for quite a while, this revelation that many of us have about this matrix, that, you know, we've really been slaves to other beings, either human beings, higher beings, alien beings, or all of the above.
So let's just explain to people what we mean by the matrix. For my part, my belief that there is some sort of matrix, some sort of incredible filter or controlling substance, device, filter, belief system that is around humanity, this came about because I guess over the past 10 years or so, I've realized that we are really struggling in our civilization, even though we have, you know, all these new technologies, new advances, but people are working and working and working harder and harder. And, you know, we are meant to be working less. Our civilization, you know, the whole idea of the Industrial Revolution was that, you know, mankind would be freer. And we're not. Everyone's working more and more. We're not seeing our children. Our taxes keep increasing more and more. You know, the banks, interest rates, everything is increasing more and more. And over the past 5 years, I have started to feel like I'm a slave.
Yeah, we're slaves to the system. I felt that way for a long time. And this must probably account for so much unhappiness for so many people, depression and anxiety and stress and all these things we feel.
So let's explain a bit more about the system.
Well, for me, this is the result. This all of this that you just said is the result of social lies on so many levels, so much manipulation and deception taking place, being thrown at us every day through media outlets. And just, we perpetuate these lies. And you know, I'm talking about religion and even philosophies and politics and beliefs in general. I almost generally, although I have my beliefs and I'm happy to have them, but they're not the most important thing to me. I almost would rather teach non-belief, which is more about being open-minded. It's about the golden rule, about just live and let live and respecting other people's innocent beliefs and not feeling as if it's that you have the need to be right all the time, because when you do that, you're becoming a slave to the system.
Now, well, that's human selfishness, isn't it? Yeah. And whether anyone has influenced us to be more selfish or not, I'm not sure. But when we talk about the matrix and the system, I guess we're talking about the fact that our world is increasingly more materialistic in many ways. That as a society, we haven't grown enough. We're working more and more, we're spending more and more, and we're not taking time to expand in the way in which we really want to. We seem to be slaves unto civilization and money. It's almost like we are slaves to money rather than being able to use money. And of course, Michael Tellinger talks about money being the poison, the actual root of a lot of evil, not because money inherently is bad. I mean, it makes sense that you'd need some sort of system of bartering and exchange, but because it's easy to manipulate others with money.
It certainly is. Money, we make the money. Money is paper. Money has no value. We give money value, and we work.
Well,
the
government manufactures money, but the banks create the money, and this is where, you know,
No, the bank does not create the money.
Yes, it does.
We create the money.
No,
we are the ones working to make the money for them, and we are the ones that are, they're making paper, and people are putting value on the paper.
But you see, the banks say that they've got far more money than they have. The whole banking system is an incredibly clever system of deceit.
Well, I think that's because we give them the power. We allow others to make our decisions, and we give our power away.
Well, maybe, maybe not. I mean, if we don't know that something is being done behind our back, we can't really control it. And
again, this goes back to responsibility. I do believe that we make the money, and so we should have, we decide how we spend our money and what we do with our money that we've worked for.
Well, yes, I mean, that's how
we should.
That's how it should be. But I guess what a lot of people, including Michael Tellinger, have been talking about is that the banking system is layers and layers of hierarchy, and that the money that the banks supposedly have is actually not there, and the lending practices and all of that, it's an incredibly cunning system of deceit, and it's actually enslaving humanity.
Well, it certainly is, especially when, you know, the debt-based system, which is really broken down to the point that it's irreparable, and I'm sure, you know, at some point there'll probably be a collapse soon, but of the entire system, but the debt-based system itself was never meant to be successful. How could it? I mean, you never pay your debts off. You don't. The idea is, for a lender, is that you don't pay your debts off because you continue to just pay on the interest for life without ever paying off your debts. And if enough people do that, the lenders can get rich and rich and rich, and you never get out of debt. So it's a ingenious system for the person that created it, or the people that created it, the beings that created it, because it does make you a slave.
And but this is frightening. And I think there are a lot of, you know, very good people in the banks.
Sure.
I think most people are not aware of this. Or maybe it's a self-perpetuating system that just doesn't work. I don't know.
We have so many of those self-perpetuating systems that don't work.
And this is part of, I guess, what people are talking about in terms of the matrix, you know, a system that sort of enslaves us rather than frees us. It's quite frightening.
Now let's move on to quickly on to religion. Now let me bring my Ishmael out for a minute, my inner guru. What he'd like to say, I had a conversation with, it was a chat that someone left, and it said, you know, that I need to read the Bible and I need to know the Word because my ideas are not correct, because the Bible is the truth, of course, and the Word of the Bible is the truth. Now,
you channeled this, did you?
No. This was just a little comment that was left for me.
Oh, okay. And, all right.
Personally, I was brought up as a Methodist as a child. I spent years in a Nazarene church and in Bible study, and I read the Bible from the NIV, from word for word, from beginning to end. And I am a minister, a registered minister, which doesn't mean anything. It's just a title anyhow. But nonetheless, title just as good as any other minister's,
yes,
as far as I'm concerned. So... what if I were to be the person who decides what the truth is? What if I were the one who decided what the lies were? What if I was the one with the power? And what if I said, my truth is the truth?
Well, I'd tell you to go take a hike.
And I'd say, you're telling lies and you're under arrest. And not only are you under arrest, but I'm going to torture you if you speak another lie.
That's very nice.
Not only that, but I'm going to murder you and your whole family and your whole community. And I've prejudged you based just on who you are, because I don't like you and I don't ever want to hear your truth again.
Now, hang on. I think you've got issues.
Do I? But I'm the one in power. I have the authority. I am right and you are wrong.
This is scary.
Because I have the power and the authority. And there's nothing you can do. My truth is right. And I will influence everyone around me through fear that my truth is the only truth and my God is the only God.
Oh, my God. I think this is the history of humanity. Frightening, isn't it? Absolutely frightening. Okay, we're going to take a break now. And when we come back, I think we need to continue talking about our history, what went wrong, and how we can write it. All right, we'll take a break now.
Thank you. Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is David Love, your detective.
This is Lana Love, Dr. Lana Love, your doctor and healer.
Welcome back to our show. We're talking about controversies, conspiracies, and creating a new reality.
Big, big topic.
Always is. And I think it's a regular topic for us, along with just talking about sort of the true self and
the matrix.
And the matrix.
And how to climb out of it.
We often seem to just keep revisiting these topics over and over because they're so important in today's world and the issues that we're dealing with. And I was talking about, we were talking about religion and we were talking about the matrix. We were talking about social lies and we were talking about, I was thinking, just last night, there was another debate. You know, I was actually, I put out something about, a post about, how there is no God or no being that is above thou shalt not kill. Any God that, you know, says worship me or requires any kind of sacrifices, that is not a true God. That is not.
Right, so you're talking about the God from the Old Testament.
Yes.
Yeah, and we had
in
a
particular,
really...
But there's been many like that, you know, those types of gods that require blood sacrifices.
Oh, you mean like the Aztecs and the Incas and the, you know, the human sacrifices, the taking of young maidens and the ripping open of their chests and
yes, all these
taking their heart.
You know,
out.
And I believe these things are still going on today. I worked in missing children. I would investigate cults and satanic cults and the rituals.
That is
even,
so frightening.
Even circumcision itself is, to me, a blood sacrifice and a ritualistic, unnecessary.
I guess so. It's very cruel.
Animals, I heard this from Philip Wall, and I don't need to sort of re-experience that whole conversation because it's disgusting, but nonetheless, this is unacceptable.
I guess we need to summarize that, you know, in terms of the number of animals that are being slaughtered for human consumption each year, it's gobsmackingly, it's such a huge number. It's like there's a whole genocide.
There's a genocide of the
of
animal kingdom, and there's
happening.
A genocide of
Very
the environment
cool.
of trees
right, yeah.
and of. On all levels, and human beings are being slaughtered, and there's something wrong with this. And you don't do this in the name of a God. You don't do this, period. And using war to fight war is not the thing to do. It's not, you don't stoop to that level, you don't. But again, boy, this is such a difficult topic. And I did put that post out, and I got, and it's interesting where we have such a broad audience and a broad network of people and groups. One person said to me, this is might be your comments about sort of pointing the finger at gods, ancient gods, is and accusing them of being false gods is a bit offensive. This might be offensive to some people, and some people might be uncomfortable with that. And then there was another person who said, you're brilliant. And then there was another person who criticized me and said, you're not doing enough. You're doing nothing. We're not doing anything. We're not uniting. People are being slaughtered across the world, and I'm sick of the light workers, and I'm sick of, so it's really hard to keep a balance, and it's really hard to just keep everybody happy. And I write for myself, and I speak for myself, and I speak my own truths, and I know what's right for me, and I don't know, I can't make everyone else happy. Your first responsibility is to your own happiness, and it's not for me to be the one to do that for everyone and be everything for everyone. So for me, it's about just writing for myself first and speaking my truths with conviction. And that's all I can do. And if someone doesn't appreciate what I have to say, then I can't do any better than that.
Free will is very important. The ability to examine what is said and the freedom to believe what you feel you can believe in is terribly, terribly important. And that's where so many religions can be seen as brainwashing individuals. It's so important to not do that to humanity, and so important for people to actually have free speech. Now, when it comes to matters of the Bible and interpretations of the Bible, people should be able to interpret the Bible as they see fit.
This is
And
true.
certainly with the Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament is a wrathful, angry, very fearful entity, should I say, very, very different to that of the New Testament, which begs the question, are they actually the same God?
I don't know. I'm not all that interested in religion or politics. I do think that what I read is appalling, and just as appalling as what Philip Olin talked about when sacrifices, thousands of bulls and sheep and chickens and were sacrificed, blood sacrifices to a god, a supposed god.
And what doesn't make sense is that God is, meant to be, at least in the way that Jesus talks and describes of God as being the ultimate source of love.
And kindness and
That's right.
compassion
And it's
and
completely different to what is described in, talked about in the New Testament. So it begs the question, are they the same?
no, this God, they say they're the same God. The Jews don't believe in, generally don't believe in Jesus as the Savior or the Son of God. And I'm not going to even, I don't care about that. I'm not going to get into that. That's a useless argument for me, debate. But
Well, I think most religions now do see God as a loving, all creator.
this one would, cause wars and would kill its own people. When Moses came down from the mountain and saw that his people were worshiping a golden calf, their people were slaughtered for that, because this God said, no other God shall be held above me or worshipped above me. And that's very egocentric, I think.
And look, so if the God of the Old Testament is actually different to the God of the New Testament, it begs the question, who is the God of the Old Testament? And has that got something to do with humans and their origins as genetically engineered slaves? I mean, this is frightening.
And this is not an attack on Judaism or Christianity. It's really not. I value many of the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of the Bible and the lessons, and they're very valuable, many of them. But, you know, a God that opens up earthquakes and sets the world on fire almost is not a loving being. And the main thing, everyone's entitled to their beliefs and religions and philosophies. I'm talking about innocent beliefs, of course. And I'm not saying any Jews are sacrificing that I know or doing it, you know, these things have never happened in front of me. And certainly I don't tolerate those things. I don't accept the stuff, you know, causing injury to others this way.
I guess the question is, what do we do with knowledge, information, such as, my God, we've been genetically engineered, my God, we've been used as slaves in the past? Not now, but are we still being influenced by unseen forces like the Matrix? You know, why is it that so many of us feel like slaves to the system? And that's where, I guess, rather than panicking, or getting angry, it's very useful to stand back, observe, develop insight, meditate, and take stock of the situation and be the change that you want to be. You know, if we are being unduly influenced, we need to break out of this. But we're not going to break out of this overnight.
No.
Nor do we want to start a revolution.
No, I don't, you know, this is the thing. When somebody, I do believe, you know, you have to focus on positive solutions. I mean, if somebody's creating wars, you can't fight war with war because you only expand the war.
That's right.
You can't fight guns with guns. Everybody just ends up dead.
That's right.
We've been shown this for thousands of years.
That's not very practical.
That hasn't been productive. We haven't reached any good solutions. We haven't come up with a better system that way.
What are the steps that we need to take to get out of this matrix?
And certainly, you know, focusing on love and kindness, that is
it's
important to have good values, you know, good beliefs that don't involve murdering and killing and torturing and deception and manipulation. Those things are not, we know that those things are not good.
Okay, so we become loving beings, we meditate, we develop insight about what's wrong with the world, while at the same time acknowledging what's right. But what do we do from there to get out of this sort of trap?
Yeah, how do we create real change, practical change, and in an active way? I mean, it takes positive, it's not just positive thinking, it's about positive action based on positive thoughts, I think. And it's about creativity, and it's about doing things differently, and it's about opening up your mind and really brainstorming with other people. We can't do this alone. We've had avatars and we've had masters and ascended masters before us come and gone, and they've created a lot of change in the world. And yet, you know, we're still facing major calamities, economic crisis, climactic change, and it's there. And the facts seem to be there. I've talked to so many leaders of so many organizations and professionals and geophysicists and astrophysicists and knowledgeable people and scientists and, you know, politicians and economists. And it's all there seems to be a lot of fact to this and a lot of truth to this. It's here and it's coming and we're facing it. And it does no good to ignore it or deny it, but to just deal with it as it is and really try to look for real solutions to our issues.
Okay. And the question is, can we find or put into place any solutions while remaining here in our civilization? Or do we have to step out and start again?
And we're going to have to do this together. It's not going to be one person saving us. In fact, no one's going to save us. We're playing this out. We're going to have to do this. And we're going to have to do this together, all of us talented, skilled, intelligent people working together on a shared vision and a common goal to create something new and better. And
we better do it fast, because things are changing. And if we don't do something now, you know, we could, I guess, be thrown out together with the bathwater.
Yeah, so it is going to require us to think about our survival and think beyond our survival, because these are no longer conspiracy theories. I have yet to talk to one professional or intelligent person or that I've met that doesn't that will deny that these things are happening. And yet, you know, and everybody has their own way of dealing with it. Many people don't actually want to talk about it because it's scary and there's a lot of fear around it.
So, David, you've raised a really good point. In order to break out of the matrix and to do something, we have to get hold of and be able to manage our fear. And a lot of people are just too frightened to look at this.
It's true. And it is, I guess it can be scary, but you've got
to... Oh, my God, yes.
I mean, you know, but I think it's scarier to remain this way, and it's even scarier. I mean, worry has never accomplished anything, but...
And look, we're going to be...
Anxiety.
We're going to be faced with changes, big changes. Look, you know, David, did I mention to you that what's happening with CERN? You know, CERN, which is...
cyclotrons.
The biggest man-made machine on Earth that's, you know, cost billions of dollars. It's located in Europe. I'm not sure which country it's in, but it's a particle accelerator. So right now as we speak, our wonderful scientists are playing and accelerating with particles called gravitons, and they're accelerating them to huge speeds. And they're basically colliding them with each other. big toys for the boys. And they are trying to recreate the Big Bang, which is, look, very exciting, you know. I'm sure if I was a scientist, I'd like to do that. The only problem is, what happens if you do get a Big Bang? What are the possibilities?
Well, be careful about the things you don't understand, right?
Well, do you know that some of these gravitons have actually disappeared into... God knows where.
It almost sounds like the Philadelphia experiment.
It does. I mean, this is happening here, 2015.
I do believe, you know.
And they say that the particles have disappeared into a new reality, and that through this machine, we may be able to get and open up a portal into different dimensions.
Again, I've seen a lot. My philosophy is this. I don't know anything for sure, but I do know all things are possible. So... I haven't seen all the miracles, but I know that these things are possible. So
now I'm going to challenge your belief system here even more and tell you that some people are really, really concerned about what scientists are doing here, because if you open up portals to other worlds, you don't know what you could be inviting in. Now, look, this story gets even more bizarre, David. Some of the researchers have talked to the American Indians about these things. There's an observatory on a mountain that's apparently run by the Catholic Church, the Vatican, and they actually call this observatory Lucifer. I don't know why.
Okay, I can't speak on this. I don't know anything about this.
Now they call it Lucy.
I mean, we have our military comes up with all kinds of creative names for their weapons. So I don't know, Typhoon fighters and Project Phoenix and all these things. So who knows? Our government will do almost anything. They have an endless amount of money to research and investigate these things.
These American Hopi Indians were actually taking the... apparently the government and the Vatican wanting to take it to court. Of course, they didn't win, because this observatory was being built on a mountain which was quite sacred and which was known to the native people as a portal. And their belief system is that in ancient times there were giants on the earth.
The giants, the watchers.
Yeah, apparently there is, you know, actually proof of this when you will look at various, you know, skulls and various other findings.
Going back to the time of Enoch.
That's right. And what the Hopis are very worried about is that the portals have been closed. And so at the moment we're actually safe from the giants. But if people and scientists keep playing around with things, these portals may apparently open. And God knows what might come back.
You think we'll have giants stepping out of portals opening up in the universe?
Look, it seems ridiculous. It seems ridiculous. However,
well,
who knows?
I believe they were once here on the earth, and maybe they were swept away by the great flood. I don't know. Certainly.
Look, the other belief system that some have is that the earth is actually hollow.
Oh, the hollow earth theory. Well. we don't know, we're only on the surface of the Earth, which is just a very small layer of a very large planet with a large interior. Who knows what's within the Earth? And I don't know.
This is challenging our very, very core belief system.
Not at all.
Get it? Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah. they some authorities think that there is no core in Earth, and that the Earth is hollow, and that it's full and teeming with life. And they're actually much more protected than us, because we're on, you know, on the surface and, you know, open to all sorts of attacks and, you know, rays from the universe. So, you know, our whole life on Earth here might be very, very different to what we think.
Yeah.
So this is part of needing to be open to the possibility of things being quite different, while not be, you know, led astray by ludicrous ideas. You know, being able to be open. Now, when we're talking about stepping out of the matrix, David, I think it does ultimately involve getting out of this system and creating a new system.
It also involves getting out of yourself by knowing yourself, by questioning your own thoughts and feelings and questioning everything else and really getting to know yourself, and then you can break out of the system. That involves going within. It involves introspection, reflection, meditation.
But there's only so much meditation you can do, David.
True.
And ultimately,
but you need to be aware.
Sure. But ultimately, what some people have talked about, including Michael Tellinger and including Sasha Stone from the New Earth Movement, is that we need to create a completely different system. Otherwise, we're never going to get out of this black hole. And this new
Very
system...
Very true. And it's practical.
That's right.
Yes.
So this new system would be to actually get out of here and go there and build self-sustaining communities which are off the grid, stop using money.
And of course, that's been, you know, one of our aims since the very beginning, is to create these eco-villages and a network of self-sustainable living communities, which is why we were talking to Sasha Stone recently in an interview and supporting that idea of, you know...
And Michael Tellinger talks about, you know, Ubuntu and, you know, not using money but using contributionism. And, of course, contributionism would mean trusting each other that we are all going to contribute equally to a community. Wonderful, wonderful idea. Michael Tellinger says it can be done.
I'm sure it can be done. I think there's going to be some difficulty with that and a lot of challenges. But what choice do we have? I mean, we are in the midst of this paradigm shift. These global events are happening. So we're now forced to either do, one of my favorite sayings by Lord Byron is, mine is not to reason why, mine is but to do or die. There is no why. We're either going to accept and do something different, or we won't. That is your choice. And I don't mean that in a sort of a, however that sounds, but it's just a very basic truth, I think. I don't know how to, you know, beat around the bush about that. My higher power is very supportive of self-sustainable living and building these communities. And
David and I are going to be doing a permaculture course soon, and we'll have definitely have a guest speaker on permaculture in the next few weeks. Permaculture is, of course, you know, the science and art of growing your own food and having all the systems feed into each other, so it's self-sustaining and takes no effort, just like Mother Earth does, you know, in forests. And, you know, there is a different way to do things.
There are
technologies out there that don't, you know, kill the planet off.
That's right. I don't know all the answers, but there are a lot of people out there who do have the answers, and I rely on those professionals and those talented people in our network to come together and make this reality happen. And this is what we're talking about making a new reality, this new Earth movement.
I'm not just talking about it, but actually taking
it,
steps. That's
taking
right.
those action steps.
Brave New World, actually taking those steps.
And that is, you know, we're planning and preparing for a global event that should take away the worry and the anxiety, and these action steps towards creating positive change, that should also take away the worry and anxiety that you're doing something about what's happening, and you should feel empowered by that. And it's not about expecting a worst case scenario. It's about planning for the best possible outcome.
That's right.
So
smile, don't panic, be happy, and get on with it.
That's right, because I mean, what else can you do? You know, so what else can we say?
So that was one big topic, wasn't it? But we'll be revisiting this again and again. But I think we chewed that
that's
well, very well. We thought we had more than we can chew,
that
but
was a,
that was
that's
good.
yeah that's our mission statement. So of course we're going to be, this is what we're here for, and that's what we're doing. So this will be a topic that we'll be talking about for a long time to come, and we plan to be successful with this.
That's right.
I don't go into projects with the idea that I'm going to fail. I go into it that I'm going to be successful, and I'm not attached to the outcome. I let, you know, the higher forces do their work. So,
All right, we have to finish off. So,
thank you for listening in.
it's been a pleasure talking about these things and challenging ourselves and you. So, until next
Yeah,
time,
we love
this
you.
is Lana Love.
And David Love, and we love you all, and we thank you so much, and we thank you, Doug. And we'll see you next time on
Universal
Universal Soul
Solar.
Love.